So Masood is going to give us something about paradigms.
The topic that I worked on was new paradigms. So I started with, what is a paradigm? The paradigm is basically the largest framework within which any sort of research takes place. A paradigm is usually built on a number of assumptions, usually interconnected assumptions. And these are assumptions about the nature of reality itself. The thing about paradigms is you can't actually test a paradigm. The paradigm actually provides the basis on which we build our knowledge. But the point is that the paradigm itself cannot actually be tested or proven or disproven. Nowadays, it is very common to hear the words paradigm shift. And from my readings in business journals, I mean, every few months you would read a journal in which the author claims that what he or she has done has created a paradigm shift in business. And
no verification there.
So I guess most of us would agree that the word paradigm shift is heavily overused nowadays. It seems everyone who comes up with something new claims to be doing a paradigm shift. But the term originally was used by Kuhn, Thomas Kuhn, in his 1962 book, The Structure of Scientific Revolution. And what Kuhn did was he identified two phases in research in science. So the first phase that he called the normal phase was sort of the phase in which science advances in the direction provided by existing theory. So whatever the existing theory is, science is advancing sort of in that particular direction. And at this point of time, whatever the assumptions or the postulates of science are, seem to be self-evident, and they are considered to be truths that don't really need any verification. However, there is the other point, which is called revolutionary science, and that's the point at which the shift takes place. So it is at this point that the assumptions on which the current scientific theory was built on doesn't really appear to be self-evident anymore. And a scientific revolution occurs at this point of time. And it occurs because scientists encounter some sort of anomalies that they can't explain using current theories. So the paradigm is not just the current theory, but it's the entire worldview on which the theory is built and all the implications that come about because of that theory. When there are enough anomalies that have sort of accrued over time, the scientific field as a whole is thrown into a state of chaos because current theory can't explain it. And it is at this point of time that the paradigm shift occurs and we move towards a new paradigm. So that is the phase about revolutionary science. And once the revolution in scientific thought occurs, eventually what you have is you move to a new paradigm. And this paradigm sort of gains its own new followers. Of course, it's not that easy in the sense that there is always an intellectual battle that takes place between the followers of the new paradigm and the followers of the old paradigm. Ultimately, if you actually move to a new paradigm, most people become followers of that particular new paradigm. And that, I guess, is what a paradigm shift in reality is, and not what we hear every few months. If we look into the world of research, the use of quantitative research methods is the dominant paradigm today. And this is something that's often referred to as the positivist approach as well. Qualitative research is based on a fundamentally different set of assumptions. So we can say that it's a completely different paradigm, and we would call it an alternate paradigm. The reason being that this is a paradigm that is not fully developed as yet. The other thing I did with my paper was I sort of look back into some of the examples of what paradigm shifts were over the last few centuries, and I looked into different fields. So some examples that I came up with were from physical sciences, the transition from the Newtonian view of physics to the Einsteinian relativistic view. That's one example. In biological sciences, the development of Darwin's theory of evolution as opposed to creationism. If you look into the political side, when the English king signed the Magna Carta and that sort of took powers away from the absolute monarch, that's another example. From business, manufacturing shifted from everyone manufacturing one thing to mass manufacturing when the assembly line came out. And then I have a military example when the Prussian military model, based on the general staff model, sort of revolutionized warfare. These are some examples of paradigm shifts.
Thank you.
that's basically all I have.
Okay. That's great.
Is, is alternate and new the same?
Yeah, it is the same. I mean, the Brits have tended to use new paradigm, and the Americans are using alternate. So probably a more correct way of thinking about it is what you said, which is that it's not fully formed yet, hence not labeled as anything other than what it's in opposition to. And that was the other thing, a point I was going to make, and when I put comments on your paper, that's what I'll pull out. The only thing I would have added is that what's particularly interesting usually about new paradigms or the shift is that they originally start off as what they are not. So they're very, very good at saying, we are not this, we are against that, we don't believe this, we don't think that, and not terribly good yet at prescribing what it is they are and how, you know, what they're not. That takes quite a long time, obviously, too.
So is that when people start realizing that there's a change coming up, and when they start saying no, it doesn't fit?
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Those kinds of things happen. So there is a real critical period that happens in the middle there, where a lot of people are trying to grab some ground, so to speak. And so you can really see that in qualitative. When we start to take this look and we back up a little bit, and we see, gosh, all these players have come in and grabbed their little piece, you know, because it was really up for grabs with all that turmoil going on in the 60s in particular. So sometimes that's why it looks like such a little bit of a confusing mess. They all kind of stem back to the same roots, but they've all tried to pull a piece and say, well, I'm this, and my area is, you know, discursive and mine's whatever, interpretive. But it looks kind of messy.
So couldn't it actually be possible that there is one dominant paradigm, and there could be two or three alternative explanations that are trying to sort of become the dominant paradigm?
Yeah, it's difficult. That's a very good question. When does a paradigm cease to be the dominant paradigm? When is, you know, like we, you know, we could historically, that question is a lot easier to answer than when you're actually in a current shift. Because we can see now, obviously, the creation versus the Darwinian one. We know the Darwinian one would be the dominant one now. However, it doesn't mean there are people who still don't strongly still advocate creationism. It's still there, but that we would definitely say isn't the dominant paradigm anymore. So it's tricky. Mm-hmm. And you can have more than one alternative shift, I think. So. Okay, that was a really good explanation. Probably one of the better ones I've heard of paradigms. So thank you for that. I'll trade you. So if you give me your paper, and I'll give you these things to give back to Martin, would that be possible?
Sure.
You could put them in his pigeonhole or post box, whatever you call them here.